Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Today we are continuing our Love Our Neighbor series. My name is Dave and I'm on the pastoral team happy to be sharing with you today. In the context of our neighbor series, we're specifically looking at the subject of prayer, and perhaps most specifically, the prayer of faith. And as we do, perhaps I will be able to answer some common questions that come up when we talk about prayer and faith and how all that works together. We certainly live in a world that has legitimatized substitutes. We have faux leather. We have at our place a faux leather sofa, and it's hard to see, but if you look closely enough, you can go, yep, that's not the real thing. There are all kinds of knockoffs, watches, sunglasses, phones, clothes. With Starbucks, I've recently heard of Buckstars and Sunbucks. For Tim Hortons, I've heard of Tim Hortons. All kinds of knockoffs. As we read Scripture, and perhaps even from personal experience, we realize that there is no substitute for prayer. There's no faux or fake prayer. There's no substitute for prayer. Talking about prayer is not prayer. Thinking about prayer is not prayer. No one can pretend. No one can assign someone to do prayer on their behalf. Prayer is rather either a yes in someone's life or a no in someone's life. It's either, yes, I prayed today, or nope, I actually didn't pray today. Over the years, I've heard on many occasions the subject of prayer reduced to questions about personal disciplines, and perhaps often tied simply to my Bible reading and prayer. And while those disciplines are not bad in themselves, my concern would be simply reducing the subject of prayer and the prayer of faith in this kind of a way. Rather, I think if we do this, we can easily miss something that's very, very important when we talk about prayer. And prayer, rather, is that which is directly and most importantly tied to a person's relationship with God. So it's really impossible to talk about prayer without talking about someone's relationship with God. Well, what do I mean by that? Certainly, long before prayer ever becomes a discipline, prayer begins with a relationship. And of course, this relationship is expressed with prayer. This relationship of prayer has always been on God's mind. When you think about Scripture in the Old Testament, it's nearly impossible to study Old and New Testament passages without hearing God's invitation to pray. Certainly most of the Old Testament covenants and laws were established to get Israel, the people of God, worshiping and praying to God. Most specifically, the earliest revelations of God were seen and heard as God was commanding his people multiple times a day, pray, pray. You follow this same invitation into the New Testament, we read a number of passages, Colossians chapter 1, and so from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you. James 5, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Matthew 5, I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. 1 Timothy 2, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Certainly, God has been consistent at all times of inviting people to the priority of prayer. Truly, we learn from this that God is a God who wants to be known, wants to be discovered, and wants us to know that he knows us and loves us. And so again, if we simply study prayer as a discipline that represents devotion, I think we miss a bit of the point of prayer. I think the big idea is rather our view of prayer and practice of prayer is 100% a matter of a person's belief, and this belief expressing itself through faith that may at some point become a discipline of prayer. Let's walk through that a bit more. I read a current statistic that said 65% of Canadians believe in God. Yet as we consider the influence of those beliefs, I really wouldn't think of Canada, the country where I live, as a country being influenced by the belief of 65% Canadians. You may disagree, but so what then difference does nominal belief make? That's a very, very good question. James 2:19 says, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. So quickly we realize through a statistic and a scripture and perhaps observation that belief and faith are not equivalent terms. They're not the same thing. For example, of the 65% of Canadians who believe in God, 60% admit that they pray once a month or less, even if they pray at all. So belief, in order to be helpful, effective, in order to benefit anyone, in order to get us up and past religion and into a vital growing relationship, needs an expression. And this expression is what is called faith. Faith. Belief and faith are different. We see that in what Jesus acknowledged many times in his dealings with people. Matthew 5, Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. John 17, Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. James 5, the prayer of faith will be answered. So here we see Jesus and New Testament writers affirming faith as something that is different than the affirmation of belief. Jesus affirms faith that is expressed because of godly belief. Now, we find ourselves in a Love Our Neighbor series, and let me try to make this maybe perhaps a little practical as it relates to the difference between belief and faith. Perhaps you would think of your neighbor and say, yes, I believe God can help and heal, but I don't act in faith to actually ask God to do that work. Yes, I believe that God can encourage my neighbor, restore their marriage, unite their family, provide a job, heal them from sickness, but I don't act in faith to ask God to do this. Yes, I believe that God loves my neighbor and longs for a relationship with my neighbor, but I haven't expressed faith to ask God to reveal himself, to heal the pain, to forgive the sin, and to repair the brokenness in their lives. You see, there's a difference between believing and having faith. Faith is what matters. Faith is what unlocks the promises of God, and perhaps even in some way, God's activity amongst us. It's faith. Jesus shared a sobering question in Luke chapter 18. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? Again, Jesus didn't say, when I return, I wonder how many will believe. He said, no, how many will have faith? I say again, our view of prayer and our practice of prayer is a matter of a person's belief that will be express itself through faith, and perhaps even most specifically, the prayer of faith. So let's keep going with this. If belief and faith are not interchangeable terms, what is faith? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, that's the gift of God. Paul teaches the church in Ephesus that the root word here for faith is divine persuasion. So one simple definition is that faith is the gift of persuasion. And when applied, faith is what enables someone to know God and to carry a necessary conviction about speaking and praying boldly about God's preferred will within a situation and within a person's life. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Not belief, but faith. So we accomplish God's will as we are divinely persuaded by this gift of faith, and because of that, participate in the will and the activity of God. So here's another question. Why would I pray for my neighbor when God knows what will go on with or without me? It's a great question. I ask this all the time. Prayer does seem to be a bit counterintuitive. I mean, in what other situation do you ask for something or plead with someone when you know for certain their mind is already made up about what they will do? So again, this is so important to understand. If we see the prayer of faith as merely a means of taking some level of control of our life, or taking control of God, or changing God's mind, changing another person's life or direction, or the world for that matter, then we will be inevitably quite troubled by what often appears to be unanswered prayer. And I think because of that, we'll avoid prayer because it seems meaningless if this is what we believe. Psalm 115:3 tells us our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. So to understand all this, I think we need to think about what many call, when we're talking about the prayer of faith, the sovereignty of God. It's true that God already knows everything that will happen for the rest of eternity. He's omniscient, which means he is all-knowing. He knows the big events, and he knows the small moments of each other's lives, and certainly would be the same of our neighbor, and nothing is beyond his control. So again, because of this, it's a mistake to think of prayer as the way we change God's mind or alter his direction in any situation. Rather, prayer is a process through which we learn to trust God and receive constant revelation about his will. So God asks and invites us to pray. So we pray, and he listens to us patiently. He takes our requests seriously. Then considering everything in the context of the bigger picture, only he can see. And at that point, we often discover his will and of course, his answered prayer, or perhaps him not answering a prayer that we ask. Pete Gregg, the founder of the 24/7 prayer movement, says, in prayer, we use our will to come into agreement with God's will. So important when we practice the prayer of faith and express our belief in a way that aligns with the perfect will of God. So, what can we expect from God if we were to start praying a prayer of faith? Well, I think when we humble ourselves and pray, we quickly realize that you and I are not God. We realize that the world does not begin and end with you and me. So whether you're praying for yourself or you're praying for your neighbor, prayer is acknowledging that someone else, God, is in the center of this, in the center of the universe, in the center of these needs. And friends, I've often found at that point that my faith grows and my courage increases, and I become quickened because of this sense that God is in my midst, and he's got this. It becomes my faith becomes enlivened because I, of course, trust the character and generosity of God. When we pray, we can expect that God will inspire us to take steps of faith, because praying a prayer of faith for a neighbor is an expression of faith. It's moving from believing in God to faith in God. And this may seem a small step, but it's quite a leap associated to faith. God sees us and is so often inviting us to be a part of the answer to prayer. Perhaps you've had that answer, have had that happen to you. You're praying for a neighbor, and a creativity or a creative way comes to your mind of how you can begin to put some legs upon the prayer that you have just asked God about. Perhaps you've prayed for yourself, and in those times of prayer for yourself, you realize that through the things that you can do for yourself, in some way you are becoming part of the answer to the prayer. God works this way. Because when we start praying, we can expect to meet a God waiting to act in response to our prayers. Because he tells us that. His character and his generosity invites us to do so. Over the last 2 weekends, we've gathered 4 times, actually, to participate in Evensong. We've come during an evening to worship, to pray, to read common scriptures, and how beautiful those evenings have been. Actually, how beautiful it was to participate with 176 of our community over those 4 evenings. It was so, so good. Among the few scriptures that were read each evening, one was from Psalm chapter 27, verse 8, and it reads this way: "My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming." What an invitation. Friends, I think we need to settle in our minds that God knows what he wants to do in the world. God knows what he wants to accomplish in our lives and in the lives of our neighbors. And we need to settle this in our minds. And for some, perhaps, this is what faith is all about. He wants to let us in on this. He doesn't want to work around us. He wants to work through us. And so he gifts us with faith, and he calls us to express a prayer of faith. God has a will and a plan for the people of this world. And God is calling his people into something new. God is all over the current events of our day. And if there's ever a day that we need to believe this and act upon this and understand this, I think it's today like a day no other. Jeremiah 33 says, "Ask me," this is God, "ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come." Friends, let's get close to God. Let's let go of old things, old patterns of behavior, perhaps old patterns of thinking, and let God create a new wineskin for his will and his work to unfold in your life and through your life as you begin to practice the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. It's the way God transforms us and transforms our neighborhoods. So in conclusion, three things that we know about prayer, about the prayer of faith. Number one, perhaps a bit of summary here, but believing is not enough. Even demons believe. Our belief, Christian belief, needs application. It needs legs. And when Jesus returns, he is looking for the evidence of faith in your life. So I encourage you to ask some bigger questions about where you're at these days. Number two, prayer is one of the most active things you can do as a person to express your faith. Prayer. Prayer. The prayer of faith. It demonstrates that you and I have more than a belief and that we carry in our hearts convictions about speaking boldly about God's preferred will. Faith without works is dead. And prayer is the good work that faith expresses. Thirdly, every neighbor you have, will benefit if you pray with your gift of faith for them. Praying by name and according to the needs that God shows you involves you in a narrative that you will never find aside from prayer, and most specifically, the prayer of faith. So let's unwrap this faith. Let's practice the prayer of faith, this gift so graciously given by God to us, for us, and for our neighbors. Friends, there's no substitute for prayer. Talking about prayer is not prayer. Thinking about prayer is not prayer. You can't pretend. Prayer is either a yes in someone's life or it's a no in someone's life. It's either yes, I prayed today, or no, I didn't pray today. And I hear from scriptures today. I really hear in my heart today this message for our community. Let's say yes to God. Let's answer his call and say what the psalmist said. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, Lord, I'm coming. For his glory and for our benefit. Let's pray. Lord, today we sense your presence in this very simple gathering. We thank you for the gift and faith that you offer us today. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come into our hearts. Come into our lives today in a new and a fresh way. Move us along in our spiritual journey today. Becoming people that have perhaps belief, but no expression of faith. And I ask today for our Living Waters community that we would be known of not just the people that believe good things, but practice good things. And certainly, most specifically, we practice the prayer of faith. Lord, I sense so deeply in my heart these days that you have on your mind to use us, to use me, to use us, to see the life of our neighbors, find the best way. And so by faith today, we pray for one another. Use us. Help us to make changes that are necessary. Help us develop new habits, new disciplines, so that our prayers of faith can become consistent and can make such a potentially see our neighborhoods transformed by the good love and the good care of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.